Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Daily Libertarian. I'm your host, Wally Garneau, and today we're going to talk about some of the things that really matter. Before I really get into today's episode, I just want to say rest in peace to Rush Limbaugh. I was not a huge Rush fan. I know many of my followers probably were. I was not a huge Rush fan. I bought a couple of his books. I've listened to him on the radio a few times. And I liked his books. I really liked his books. And he was incredibly talented. And he's done a tremendous amount for the industry. So even though I didn't listen to him all the time, you know, we've all been influenced by Rush Limbaugh. I don't know that any of us would be doing what we're doing without Rush. And without what he did, and without the influences that he has had upon us. I actually have a personal connection to Rush Limbaugh. My first blog was way back in 1997. They didn't even call it a blog back then. It was just a website that you wrote articles to, and people would then hopefully read the articles. And I was still in the Army at the time. About a month after I started the blog, all of a sudden, I was picked up as the Rush Limbaugh Conservative Website of the Week, which was kind of cool. I had absolutely no accolades before that. I didn't have a ton of traffic before that. And I'm going from maybe 10 or 15 people a day to all of a sudden, well over 1,000 people a day. And that lasted for a week while I was the Rush Limbaugh Conservative Website of the Week. And then all of a sudden, it dropped off again when somebody else was the Conservative Website of the Week. Never dropped down quite as far as where it was before that, but I mean, it dropped way down. It just didn't maintain the same level of content or the same level of access as it did when Rush Limbaugh was mentioning me on his radio show and when I was mentioned on his website. So I remember Rush. I fondly remember what he did for my very, very early blog. And he was an absolute titan in the industry. And whether you were a follower or not, whether you ever heard his radio show or not, he was an absolute titan in the industry, and we all owe him a debt of gratitude. So, Rush, I hope you have a microphone up there somewhere in heaven, and God bless you. We will miss you. Hello, everyone. This is the Daily Libertarian Podcast, Episode 5. And today I want to talk about science. Specifically, I want to talk about what science is, what science is not, and how the left uses science to try to pervert reality. When I say the left uses science, I'm using the word science there in quotation marks. So the left is not always very scientific. They use science when it helps them, and they use something else when it doesn't help them. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is how the left utilizes the word science, actual science, and what have you. So I've blogged about this in the past under the title Science America Style. I think maybe Thomas Dolby had a better take on it when he said, "She blinded me with science." You know, that whole concept of being blinded by it is kind of how the left uses it. On the political right, we're kind of easy targets for that, incidentally, too, because being generally Christian, you know, we believe in God. I know I'm a believer in God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, sometimes we take flak from that on the left. They'll say, well, that's not scientific. If you believe in God, you don't believe in science. And that's just not true. You can believe in God and still be a scientist. If you look at the hypothesis of whether or not there is a God from a purely scientific perspective, there's no way to prove or disprove whether or not God exists. And as a consequence, no hypothesis is going to be able to dissuade somebody from one position to the other. If you're using science to try to determine whether or not God exists, the fact of the matter is there is insufficient evidence to change somebody's mind one way or the other on that. So just believing in God does not make you non-scientific. That's absurd. But it does make us easy targets, because other people on the left, many of whom may be atheists or agnostic or whatever, they may buy into the concept that believing in God makes somebody unscientific. So in terms of somebody else on that side, it does make us kind of vulnerable to that perception. But let's talk about what the scientific method actually is. The scientific method starts with an inductive theory. So you use inductive reasoning. You create a theory. You say, I think this is the way the world is, or I think this is how this particular thing works. From there, you use deductive reasoning. You create testable predictions, which you can also call an hypothesis. And then you use experimentation and you have observations. So what you actually do is you create experiments designed to support or refute. You're trying actually to disprove the hypothesis. If you can prove or disprove the hypothesis, the results of your experimentation are going to either support or disprove the hypothesis. If it supports it, then great. You try to find more tests that will strengthen your hypothesis, more ways you can try to disprove it. You try to see what you can do to defend or refute that hypothesis. If you refute it, then you have to use inductive reasoning again. Do I want to reject the hypothesis entirely? Do I need to modify my hypothesis in order to take into account what I found through experimentation and observation? What do I need to do? And then from there, you start the whole process over again. Assuming that you don't have to completely reject your hypothesis, you will use inductive reasoning to create a theory. You'll from there create hypothesis, experimentation, observation. The whole process goes over and over and over again. It's a big circle. Very little is ever actually proven in science. Most of it stays in the realm of theory. There are some proofs. I'm not saying nothing is proven. But much of science just stays in the realm of theory, and those theories build up on top of each other. So that's how science works. Very little is ever actually settled. So, for example, when somebody says that climate change is settled science, well, science isn't settled science, so there's no way climate change could possibly be settled science. So we may talk a little bit about climate theory as we get into climate change as we get further into this, but suffice it to say for now, there is no such thing as settled science. Now, there are two examples of science being perverted that I want to go over. I'm going to go over both of these, and I think there are elements of what the left is doing today in both. The first, I want to talk about a group that Heinrich Himmler put together. This is a part of the SS, and I don't know how to pronounce the name. This is something I've read more so than heard, but it's spelled A-H-N-E-N-E-R-B-E, so something like Annenerbe. Again, I don't know what the actual pronunciation of that is. The group was a group of scientists that Heinrich Himmler put together, and their job was to prove the superiority of the Aryan race. So they started with a theory that the Aryan race is the master race or the superior race, that it is the best race on earth, superior to all other races. A funny thing there, incidentally, they're not the only group that has believed that there was a superior race or a master race. The Japanese have believed that. The Chinese have believed that. That's been believed all over the world. And in every case, whatever group is the group that believes in an Aryan race, or in a master race, I'm sorry, they always put their race as the master race. I can't think of any examples in human history where a group of people believed that there was a master race, but did not believe that they were the master race. So maybe today's left might say that, but you know, for the most part, it's funny how everybody wants to say there's a master race and then nobody wants to say it's somebody else. So, you know, Heinrich Himmler was trying to prove that the Aryan race was the master race, and he told these group of scientists to use science to prove that, but rejecting the theory was off the table. Their job wasn't to determine whether or not the Aryan race was the master race. Their job was to prove that it was, whether it was or not. So, you know, that's not science. And I think most of us, when we see that disproving an hypothesis is not allowed, that the disproof part of it is completely off the table. You cannot reject the hypothesis. I think most of us can see through that, can see that that is not scientific. It's not utilizing the scientific method. Well, what that is lies and propaganda using the word of science and the veil of science to hide the true intent and the true meaning. I want to give you another example of how science could be perverted. In the Middle Ages, in the early Renaissance, actually throughout the Renaissance, really, the Pope and the Catholic Church, they were big patrons of science. They spent a lot of money on science. They hired scientists. They paid for scientific research. They funded scientific research. So they were big, big patrons of science. However, all of that scientific research came secondary to the Bible. And not only the Bible, but the Pope's interpretation of the Bible, Catholic orthodoxy, if you will. So if somebody came along and said, for example, that the earth is not the center of the universe, that the earth, in fact, revolves around the sun, well, you can't say that. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. That goes against Catholic orthodoxy and what the Pope at the time was saying. And so people like Galileo could get in big trouble with the Catholic Church. I believe Galileo was actually excommunicated for making the claim that the earth rotated around the sun rather than the sun rotating around the earth. And, you know, it wasn't that the Catholic Church was necessarily anti-science in this respect. It was more so that the Catholic Church gave science a secondary role. They considered the Bible, and not just the Bible itself, but their interpretations of the Bible to be sacrosanct, such that you could not disprove them. If somebody tried to take scientific research and use it to show that what they believed was not true, you couldn't do that. That wasn't allowed. The ability to do that was completely taken off the table. So the Bible and the Catholic interpretation thereof was considered absolutely the Word of God, proven, not testable, not questionable, And any scientist that came up with any research that questioned it or that contradicted with it, that was not allowed. And, you know, when we look at these two things, the honor be starting with a theory and saying you're not allowed to disprove this. You are going to either use science or pervert science in order to show, to create propaganda that we can use to say that this is true. You know, the left does that. Climate change is a great example of that. The truth of the matter is that the science of climate change, the fact that the climate is changing, the earth is warming, that we're on a collision course with extinction, unless we solve climate change and give the government totalitarian powers over our lives, that was considered settled science before anybody did any science whatsoever. And we'll talk a little more about climate change a little bit later in the program. This is the part of the podcast where I talk about mission. Most podcasts would talk about sponsors, but if you look around, you'll see that the left controls government, the media, including the press, academia, big tech, basically everything that controls narrative. The left even uses cancel culture to control corporate decision-making, canceling conservatives and conservative voices at every turn. The left claims to speak truth to power, but the left has little interest in truth, and the left is in power. So in reality, what the left does is to speak power to truth in order to shut truth down. My mission is to speak truth to power, and to do that, I have to prevent the left from having power over me. If I take sponsors, and the left can attack those sponsors and try to force them to stop supporting me. Running a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, and all of the other social media platforms I'm either involved in or getting involved in starts to get expensive, with hosting fees, hardware and software costs, and everything else. Particularly as you start trying to improve production qualities, it just starts to add up. As my reach grows, so too must that production value, and without sponsorship, I am reliant on my followers. What I do as a public service. Everything is free. Nothing is locked behind any kind of a pay gate. If you agree with my mission, however, you can support me. You could donate through Patreon at www.patreon.com/WGARNEAU or through PayPal at paypal.me/WGARNEAU. Every dollar helps, and particularly through Patreon, where donations recur monthly. You can also purchase my book, The Way Forward, Lean Leadership and Systems Thinking for Large and Small Businesses. The book is not coming out until April and will be available wherever books are sold. If you want a signed copy, you can purchase it directly through me. I'm not taking payment at this time, but I am trying to get an idea of how many books to have my publisher ship through me. So if you're interested in a signed copy of my book, email me at Wallace Garneau, that's WallaceGarneau, @gmail.com. So that's it. If you want to support my mission, please consider donating and please consider buying a copy of my book. And now back to today's podcast. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the specific things that the left does to abuse or to pervert science. Before I do, though, I want to talk about some other things that the left perverts and abuses in the same way, such as the U.S. Constitution. Now, there are two ways to interpret the Constitution today. One is by reading it, using the definitions that were common at the time the Constitution was written, and then discerning what the meaning is based upon what the Constitution actually says. That's not how the left interprets the Constitution. The left believes in a living document interpretation of the Constitution, where you throw the actual text of the Constitution out, and then the Constitution means whatever it needs to mean at any given point in time. In other words, the Constitution is a completely fluid document, kind of the way biology is fluid now, and whatever we need it to mean, that's how we'll interpret it. And it's not just the Constitution, it's really all laws. It's really the concept of law, the concept of rules, the concept of procedures. Those kinds of things don't really exist to the left, except insofar as they can be used as political weapons to attack the political right. So, for example, if Joe Biden does something corrupt, maybe his son Hunter gets a job with a board of an energy company in the Ukraine, well, we'll blow that off. That doesn't really count. We're not worried about that. There's nothing wrong with what's going on there. Have a Republican do the same thing, and you're going to throw the book at him. Not only that, but when it comes to Republicans, we find people and we decide that they are guilty, and then we start looking through laws to see if we can interpret something in such a way as to make them guilty of it. So there's no concept of due process under the law to the left. There's no concept really of due process at all. There's really no concept of law except that we're going to use it as a weapon against our opponents. And they do the same thing with science. You look at climate science, for example. Right now, we have this big freeze going on in Texas, people actually dying because of a lack of access to electricity. And that's not just because electricity is how they generate a lot of their heat. It's also because they aren't able to process water right now. As a consequence, the water that people are getting, if they are getting water, it's not potable, and they're under a boil advisory. Well, if you've got an electric stove and you're on a boil advisory, how do you boil the water? Your stove doesn't work. So it's not just a question of it's cold outside and they don't have heat. It's also they don't have access to clean, safe water. In some cases, they don't have access to water at all. So it's a terrible, terrible situation going on in Texas. But if you read CNN, they're not saying it's because wind turbines froze and there was an over-reliance on an unreliable source of energy. They're saying it's because they use natural gas. And they're pointing out that natural gas lines froze, that the ability to send natural gas to processing plants froze, and that many of the natural gas turbines are out of action because of the cold. And that's all true, except that it all relates back to the wind turbines and not to natural gas itself. The wind turbines have a natural gas backup system. You might say that they're natural gas turbines with a wind assist, or you might say that they're wind turbines with a natural gas assist. But the truth of the matter is they're designed to run on both. If there's enough wind, the wind spins them. If there isn't enough wind, then they either use a combination of wind and natural gas, or they just use natural gas. And when those wind turbines freeze up, as they have done, the natural gas portion can't spin them either because they're frozen up. So in that sense, yeah, natural gas turbines are frozen. They're frozen in the sense that they're also wind turbines, and that's what's frozen. In terms of natural gas delivery, the issue there is that they had natural gas lines that were empty because they weren't in use, and when they tried to fire those back up in the cold, they were frozen. Now, natural gas is a much lower freeze point than water does, and as a consequence, natural gas lines don't like to freeze in the cold. If they'd been running natural gas, they would have been fine. But because they were empty, they froze up. And now when they need to spin them back up, they can't. That's, again, not because they're on natural gas. It's because they were not on just natural gas. And we're taught that natural gas is this dirty thing that we have to move away from. That's not true either. Coal's kind of dirty. The idea that we should move away from coal, I can get on board with that because coal is kind of dirty. We should start moving away from coal, and we have started to move away from coal. We've actually done very, very well in reducing our CO2 emissions because we've moved from coal to natural gas. Natural gas does not have anywhere near the CO2 output that coal does. Natural gas actually does not have the same CO2 output that wind turbines do, because wind turbines do use natural gas as a backup. Wind turbines are incredibly inefficient to build. They have to be built in these huge production facilities. They have to be shipped, which is ridiculous in the amount of CO2 that it produces. They have short lifetimes. And when you take all of the CO2 that will ever be produced, from the time that you decide to make a wind turbine to the time the wind turbine is dead, all of the natural gas will be used as a backup. You actually burn more natural gas to use wind than you would if you just use natural gas. Solar's the same way. They make a solar panel by taking one part coal and one part quartz. It has to be pure quartz. If somebody tells you they use sand, they don't. Sand is primarily quartz, but it's not pure enough. So they have to use pure quartz to make a solar panel. They melt those in a coal-fired furnace. That makes the glass for the solar panel. Then you throw in a bunch of rare earth stuff, batteries, all that good stuff. All this stuff having to be mined. Mining produces a tremendous amount of CO2. You have to ship them. Shipping produces a tremendous amount of CO2. The solar panels are generally made in China, so you have to ship them across the ocean. Slow boats, a lot of CO2. And then they break, and you have to get new ones. The lifespan of a solar panel is very short. So you actually use more coal in order to use solar than you would if you just burnt coal. Germany found that out. Germany went all in on solar. When they were done, they said, okay, we're getting half of our energy now from renewables. This is great. But they were using more coal than they were when they just burned coal. So solar uses more coal than burning coal does. Wind uses more natural gas than just burning natural gas does. Let's not even, don't even get me started on nuclear, because nuclear is banned by the Green New Deal. No, there are only two technologies known to man that can get us to significantly reduce our CO2 footprint the way supposedly we need to do it. One of those is natural gas. The other is nuclear. And both of those are things we're told we have to move away from. We have to ban nuclear. We have to stop fracking. We can't have natural gas. Those are the only two technologies that will significantly reduce our CO2 emissions. If we wanted to solve greenhouse gases entirely, solve CO2 emissions entirely, we'd go all in on nuclear and all in on natural gas. Those are the technologies, and yet those are the technologies we're told we can't use. So it's not science that is driving the climate change debate. And it's not science that is promoting the climate change debate. Climate change alarmism, there's no science behind that. What they do to get climate change alarmism is they take the most outrageous model they have, models that are completely unpredictive in terms of, you know, they say something will happen, then it doesn't. Their batting average with predictions on climate change is absolutely zero. Nothing that they predicted has ever come true. But then they take the worst case scenario model, something which is completely outside of the norm of anything that's actually happening, and they create these grand wah alarmist predictions based on these ridiculous models. The models that are the most predictive, the models that are the most like what is actually happening, like the Russian model has actually been the most accurate over time, that doesn't predict alarmism. That predicts a little bit of warming. We have plenty of time to get it under control. There are plenty of things we can do to mitigate the warming as it occurs, such as building dikes around low-lying areas to keep the water out. You know, the Netherlands are entirely below water, so the idea that we're going to lose Florida is ridiculous. So, you know, the climate change is real, but the alarmism that we get from the left is absolutely ridiculous. It is no semblance to science whatsoever. And we need to, you know, you would like to see us stop talking about it, except that it's about control. When you take away cheap and affordable and reliable energy from a country, what you are able to do is you are able to cheapen the wealth, to reduce the wealth of that country. And that's what's happening here. There is a concerted effort going on to make the American people far more poor than we are today. And they're using climate alarmism as a vehicle to do that. They're completely throwing science out the window in the process. So that's not scientific. We could also talk about biology. Don't even get me started in the concept of biology. Every species known to man, male and female, you know, lions, ducks, dogs, cats, whatever. Every species out there, we know there's a male and a female. We know what makes them a male and a female, but not with humans. I mean, give me a break. Biology has been thrown completely out the window by the left. Let's talk about the humanities. We talked about the scientific method earlier. Do you know what the scientific method is in the humanities? Somebody will write a supposedly scientific paper, and that is peer-reviewed by other people who read it and determine whether or not they like it. If the consensus is that we like this paper, then the paper is deemed to be scientific, and that is the peer review process for the humanities. And what's wrong with this is that the people in the humanities are invariably leftists, many of them radically left, and they seem to like the more radical papers they read. So, for example, if you say something absurd, then I come out and I say something even more absurd, I'm congratulated for having the courage to be more absurd than anybody else has previously had the courage to be. And we see this all over the place. That's why there are suddenly multiple genders. All of this is coming from the humanities. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It bears no semblance to science whatsoever, and yet that is what the left claims is scientific. Actual science, they don't much care for it because science only exists, again, as a weapon that can be used against the political right. People on the right tend to be religious, so we'll say that they're not scientific, and then we'll throw all kinds of garbage at them, claiming that it's science. We'll dress it in the cloak of science, but it won't be scientific at all. That's what the left does. And they do it all over the place. As I said, they do it with the Constitution. They do it with the use of law, rules, whatever, procedures. Everything is a weapon to use against the political right, and it's all about getting power. And that's pretty much what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about science, how the left uses it, abuses it, perverts it. The left doesn't do it so much like the Pope did back in the Middle Ages because in the Renaissance, because at least then, where science did not conflict with the Bible, the Pope was open to it. The Pope was a sponsor. The Catholic Church was a sponsor of science as long as it didn't conflict with the Bible. So what you had was real science going to a point, and then it was stamped down because it conflicted crossed a line that the Pope wouldn't allow to be crossed. What we have with the left is more like what the Nazis were doing, trying to prove that the Aryans were a master race. They're starting with a conclusion or with a theory, and then they're saying, prove it. And they're throwing away any evidence that the theory is wrong. The theory is not, you're not allowed to disprove the theory. You have to only show evidence that it's right. And they don't care what the validity of that evidence is. They just care that that's what gets out of the public sphere. So that's what we have. That's what the left is doing with science. When you hear them talking about science, understand they're not using it in a scientific way. They're just using the word science as a weapon. And we need to fight back. We need to fight back by using truth. We need to fight back by using real science. And we need to fight back by not recoiling and hiding every time the left calls us a dirty name. So thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening. This has been a production of The Daily Libertarian. All rights reserved.